I'm Ainsley Earhart, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, November 14th, 2017. I'm Dave Anthony. A QB who took a knee, honored by GQ for taking a stand.
Colin Kaepernick will not be silenced.
I'm Jessica Rosenthal. Even some members of his own party have the knives out for Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore, but the accusations of sexual misconduct still might not bring him down.
The first rule of thumb is if you don't fight it, you can't survive it, and he certainly has decided to dig in and fight it.
And I'm Todd Starnes. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
He is Citizen of the Year, Colin Kaepernick. Honored by GQ magazine as one of their Men of the Year, featured on the cover as one of the new American heroes.
You know, I have great respect for men and women that have fought for this country. I have family, I have friends that have gone and fought for this country. And they fight for freedom. They fight for the people. They fight for liberty and justice for everyone. And that's not happening.
That was last year when Kaepernick started the NFL national anthem protest, citing police brutality as one reason to take a knee during the anthem during 49ers games. The issue got revved up again this year, especially when President Trump got involved.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
That expanded the NFL protests for weeks, and the president remained critical, especially on Twitter. And the issue still hangs over the league and Kaepernick.
What's going to be of Colin Kaepernick's NFL future? Don't know. What's going to be of his football future? Don't know.
Jared Max is a sports reporter for Fox News Headlines 24/7.
I was looking forward to seeing some comments from him in this GQ issue where he's been honored. But even that, again, much like he has this season disappeared from the NFL and is having others essentially fight his fight that he began, the same here with the magazine article. So he's almost man of mystery.
What is the reasoning for his being honored as Citizen of the Year?
Interestingly, now the feature is titled Colin Kaepernick Will Not Be Silenced. And it begins, this is a note from the editors of GQ, with a comparison between Colin Kaepernick and Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson. GQ states athletes who risked everything to make a difference. But anybody who knows their sports history knows that Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson are on an entirely different plane than Colin Kaepernick when it comes to what they did in the boxing ring or on the baseball field, and what they also did to fight social injustice, actually risking everything, where Colin Kaepernick, many would say, was maybe at the end of his NFL career or didn't have that much going, certainly was not at a point where his trajectory was pointing upward.
This issue still dogs the NFL months and months after it sprang up again. So the league has been trying to get past it, but Roger Goodell is still in the middle of this.
There are a minimum of 30% of football fans. There was just a recent poll, Seton Hall poll, which found, I think those numbers, maybe 35% at least, were the biggest reason why people, football fans, not only Americans, but football fans are watching less football is because of the anthem protests. And some will say, well, what is what has to do, you know, 3 minutes before a game, pregame, become the dominating story? But because it's become such a large story, sport, fun, leisure, football, a Sunday afternoon, something that's supposed to be fun, has been turned into something which really isn't a lot of fun. And I think it soured a lot of football fans, so we're seeing fewer people watching the game. Regarding it, interestingly, you know, this past weekend was the NFL Salute to Service and Honoring Veterans Day weekend, and there were calls for a boycott of NFL games. Over a quarter of a million people, just about a quarter of a million people, part of a Facebook page to boycott the NFL and to not watch the games on Sunday. And yet among the early games, the 1 o'clock Eastern time starts for NFL week number 10 on Sunday, attendance was actually up 1%. So we didn't see a drop off there. And again, the TV ratings, we don't know. There's so many other factors. Ratings are down across the board just because there's the pie that everyone is eating from is the same size. There's just more slices and they're smaller.
Of course, there's been a lot of reaction on the internet to GQ's naming Colin Kaepernick Citizen of the Year. Fox's Carly Shimkus is a social media reporter for Fox News Headlines 24/7.
Critics say his actions are disrespectful and based on a false anti-cop narrative. Reaction now pouring in on social media. Ali on Twitter says, apparently wearing socks depicting police officers as pigs is the prerequisite to becoming citizen of the year. What a high standard. But Eugene on Twitter is pleased. He says, nobody is more deserving of citizen of the year than Colin Kaepernick, a true American hero who sacrificed his career to fight white supremacy. Now, people who disagree with GQ's choice are now offering up some suggestions of their own. Former ESPN reporter Britt McHenry tweeting, J.J. Watt raised $37 million for Hurricane Harvey victims, but Kaepernick refused to stand for our national anthem a year ago and is citizen of the year. Another Twitter user posting a picture of a U.S. Marine writing, here is my citizen of the year. Kaepernick responded on Twitter saying he is honored to be recognized by the magazine.
He didn't even give an interview to GQ magazine, so we really haven't gotten much insight. We did see photographs in this issue of Colin Kaepernick around Harlem in New York City, but he didn't give an interview. The closest we get are some insights into who Colin Kaepernick is from 10 confidants of his, the likes of a Harry Belafonte or rapper J. Cole, that GQ spoke to, because they didn't even get Kaepernick.
There were barely any national anthem protesters during Sunday's NFL games, just three. Two San Francisco 49ers players and one New York Giant took a knee on a day when the NFL offered a salute to service on Veterans Day weekend. Rashard Matthews, a Tennessee Titans wide receiver, ran onto the field holding hands with two soldiers, then stood for the anthem. In prior weeks, Matthews stayed in a locker room. Now, everybody also stood at Woody's Roadside Tavern in Farmingdale, New Jersey. Everyone in the bar sang along for the anthem, among those who took part in a call to boycott NFL games this past Sunday.
One of our patrons, a regular, came in and asked us if we'd turn off the TVs on Sunday and honor veterans. We thought about it and we thought it was a great idea.
Co-owners Chris Maltese and Rob Johnson on Fox and Friends say they turned the NFL off on the tavern's TVs at game time.
It was a phenomenal day, super busy. We had veterans driving from hours away just to be part of it, and the veterans find great sense of comfort being around one another.
Fellow co-owner Jennifer Knapp says they turned a typical football Sunday into a fundraiser for three charities.
You know, we tried to just make it into a positive thing and give back to the people who put their life on the line for us, our heroes.
So the national anthem issue still hangs over the league and Commissioner Roger Goodell.
We want to make sure that we're understanding what the players are talking about, and that's complex.
And he and some players discussed it at a recent NFL owners meeting, wanting to be proactive in helping deal with the issues at the heart of the protest. Goodell himself is a controversial figure in contract extension talks with the NFL.
You know, as whether it be football fans or just Americans, and we see, wow, this is a pretty powerful person, powerful league. I don't know many who would really want his job, because if you can tell me how you would do things differently and be able to keep peace, I'm all ears. I think he has a very unenviable position, but I don't know if he's really helped himself because he didn't take a hard stand on this. Even Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, who's been pretty strong about players, you should be standing for the anthem. Even Jerry Jones got swept up in it all. And one game with the Cowboys, walked out with his players toward midfield, took a knee for 14 seconds, and then stood up and walked to the sidelines. By and large, we're seeing with the NFL owners, they don't want politics involved. They didn't ask to be in this situation, but suddenly it's a very real-world situation, and tempers, you know, get pretty hot over this. I don't know anybody who would want to be in Roger Goodell's position. You might say, oh, well, I would tell him to do this. Okay, well, then you might just be alienating a large percentage of the people who play.
Jared, thanks.
This is Todd Starnes with your Fox News commentary coming up.
Some politicians survive accusations of sexual misconduct. Others clearly do not. Right now, Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore is the latest to fight claims of sexual misconduct, in this case with a 14-year-old girl in the late 70s when he was in his 30s. That's according to the Washington Post, which also says three other women have come forward to say Moore pursued relationships with them when they were between the ages of 16 and 18. Yesterday, a fifth woman, Beverly Young Nelson, alleged Moore assaulted her when she was 16.
He said, "You're just a child." And he said, "I am the district attorney of Etowah County. And if you tell anyone about this, no one will ever believe you."
Moore denies the accusations, calling them a witch hunt motivated by politics. Still, many, including some Republicans, have said Moore should step aside and not run for the vacant seat once filled by now Attorney General Jeff Sessions. The polling since the allegations were made has varied, but the average gives Moore a slight edge over his Democratic opponent Doug Jones. So right now, clearly many voters in Alabama are still sticking by Moore with the election coming up next month.
Some of the polls not quite reliable, but when you look at the Real Clear Politics average of polls, I think there's a 2-point spread with Moore just slightly ahead.
Fox News correspondent Jonathan Sary has been reporting from Gadsden, Alabama for several days now.
This man has a lot of fans in this state. A lot of people remember him as the Ten Commandments judge back in 2005 when he installed this massive Ten Commandments monument in the state Supreme Court building. There was a federal court order that it violated the separation of church and state and that he needed to remove it. He refused to remove the Ten Commandments monument. He ended up losing his job as Chief Justice of Alabama State Supreme Court, but he won many fans among social and religious conservatives in the state who have been turning out to support him in elections. In fact, they reelected him eventually to that job, which he lost again for telling probate judges in the state not to approve licenses for same-sex couples.
I imagine that social and religious conservatives would also not feel comfortable if these allegations were true, that he did in fact pursue a 14-year-old. Which matters more, the Roy Moore that they knew from the past, the Roy Moore you just described, or the possibility that these allegations are true? It sounds like one does outweigh the other.
We have some voters who say they know Roy Moore. They know that if he had done something wrong, because he's such a good Christian, he would come forward, admit what he did, and ask for forgiveness. And then there are others who are saying even if he did commit the acts he's accused of, they would forgive him because it's their Christian duty, and they have no doubt that he's asked God for forgiveness.
How do other Republican reactions impact the voters you've spoken with?
It depends on what part of Alabama you're in. If you're in wealthy suburbs of, say, Birmingham or Montgomery, you're going to have business conservatives who are more likely to be swayed by the party establishment. But when you go out into the rural parts of the state, you'll find a lot of anti-establishment sentiment. This is a solidly red state, but it's also a populist and anti-establishment state, and Roy Moore has been able to capitalize on that.
How much of his support feels emotional to you, that politics or the feeling of politics and standing by your guy and not going for a Democrat, how strong is that vibe and that feeling there?
Oh, it's all emotional. Roy Moore once said, in Alabama, we have a tradition, we dare defend our rights. There seems to be a lot of that attitude going into the election. A lot of people, particularly in these more conservative rural areas, not wanting outside influences to come in and tell them who to vote for. They wear it as a badge of honor to challenge the establishment. And I think that's why you're seeing so much support remaining for behind Roy Moore, despite these very serious allegations.
If voters do go with Moore come election day, it would not be the first time voters have stuck by a politician dealing with scandal.
These events never, ever happened.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Others have been less lucky.
I wasn't eager to share this failure, but I should have anyway, because I am not gay.
What I will say is this, is that I know for a fact that my account was hacked.
So why? Why do some survive and others don't? Mark Penn is the managing partner of the Stagwell Group and chairman of the Harris Poll. He served as President Bill Clinton's pollster and Hillary Clinton's chief strategist for 8 years.
Bill Clinton, in the end, might have been impeached, but not convicted. And I think you saw even the election of Donald Trump would have been a surprise given the Access Hollywood tape that no one thought that after that appeared that he had a snowball's chance of being president.
Why do some politicians survive scandal or accusations like Bill Clinton, President Trump, even, I think of former South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford, who's now actually a member of Congress?
after he left the country to pursue an affair. But then you look at people like Anthony Weiner or former Idaho Republican Senator Larry Craig, former Democratic presidential candidate John Edwards, and those scandals seem to be career-ending. Why do some survive and some don't?
President Clinton's case, people said, look, what he did was his private life. It wasn't really his public life. As president, he was doing an incredible job. I think Anthony Weiner, I didn't really see how he could survive that one because I think it was so intermixed with his personality, his public life. And ultimately, he made the mistake of trying to pretend that he got past it when he hadn't.
What works and what doesn't?
Basically, the rule of thumb is if your opponent is having a scandal, you want to stay out of it. That the minute you get into it, you politicize it, and therefore its whole impact kind of gets lost because it becomes just part of the political back and forth. And I think actually people failed, I think, in the last presidential campaign to observe that rule enough.
Voters feel like they know you or feel connected to you because of your past representation of them. How much does that matter?
President Clinton, for example, was able to get through the Monica Lewinsky scandal because he was able to go to the UN and every world leader stood up. If they hadn't, and he was able to give a State of the Union, and if they hadn't clapped and applauded, he wouldn't have been able to function. And it's a tougher standard getting elected than once you're elected.
Political scandals are not new, but how we talk about them and react to them certainly is. Robert Dalek is a political historian who's also a professor emeritus of history at UCLA. He says the mainstream media's political focus has changed throughout the years.
John Kennedy was a womanizer. The mainstream media didn't write about it or talk about it in those days. Now, someone like this Roy Moore gets into a lot of difficulty because it becomes instant news. And so you have so many cable outlets and so many news outlets with this internet and social media, Facebook, that it's a changed circumstance. And people over the years have asked me, how do you think Lincoln would have survived on television? Well, I don't know, but, you know, they said of Lincoln, he was a two-faced liar. And he said, well, if I had another face, do you think I'd stay with this one? So that kind of humor might have served him. Ronald Reagan, plenty of attacks for having said things that he didn't follow up on. So depends on the individual.
And it sounds like it depends on the media now. Like you just said, JFK, his womanizing ways, as we know now, weren't talked about then. We talk about them probably more now than they were talked about then.
I agree. I think you're right.
What happened? Is it just social media and the internet, or did some sort of shift happen in our ethos?
Well, I think it's probably some of both. People are more relaxed. You know, can you go to the movies now without seeing graphic demonstrations of sex? Almost at every film you go to. It was a long period of time when that was seen as out of bounds. So in that sense, our outlook on things, our acceptable public discourse has changed. And so it makes it much more difficult for a political figure to push aside allegations of the sort we're seeing in relation to someone like Mr. Moore.
So surviving a scandal clearly depends on a whole lot of things. Your history with voters, who you're up against, how you handle the scandal in the first place, who comes to your defense, and the general mood of the people you're trying to sway.
Download Lauren Green's Lighthouse Faith.
We sort of think that God has nothing to say about our pain and suffering. God has nothing to say about our sex life. And the truth is that God is very much has spoken to all of these things.
Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Todd Starnes.
What's on your mind?
GQ magazine has named Colin Kaepernick as its Citizen of the Year. Mr. Kaepernick, the former San Francisco 49ers quarterback, responsible for starting a national movement to protest the Star Spangled Banner. The magazine for emasculated men hailed Mr. Kaepernick as a powerful symbol of activism and resistance. But it's telling when you consider who did not make the list. Marine veteran Taylor Weston, who commandeered a pickup truck and rushed victims of the Las Vegas massacre to the hospital. The all-volunteer Cajun Navy pulled hundreds of citizens from the floodwaters after Hurricane Harvey. They did not make the list. Stephen Williford, who ran out of his house barefoot, armed with a gun to stop the bloodshed inside a Texas church house. He did not make the list either. GQ seems to believe it's manly to take a knee. But I say the true measure of a man is taking a stand. I'm Todd Starnes.
You have been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to Fox News Radio's hourly newscast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, visit foxnews.com.